Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. The number to call is 434-1790. The numbers are, the lines are free. So you can give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. I'll tell you a little bit about what I'm seeing on the WhatsApp. There's one individual who has sent me some pictures from the United States of America. And in these pictures, the person is showing that there are armed individuals from both sides, especially from, I guess, Trump supporters who have been, I guess, causing a threatening presence in the United States of America. Certainly this is some reason for concern, especially, as I mentioned previously, considering that the current president has not as yet, at least last I heard, conceded or indicated that he would do such. We also have some other people who are concerned about the sewage tax as well. The caller hit the nail on the head. Why should people be paying for services which they are not receiving? So, oh, we have a call on the line. Good morning, Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning, this is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Mom. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. I realize this morning program is bare politics.
You can talk about whatever you want. Anyone can call and talk about the things that are on their minds. You know, the lines are free, so.
Today the last, right? Whoever wins, whoever lose.
Well, I don't know that today would be the last for it. Probably tomorrow would be the last.
The election is tomorrow, so they can't come right in and talk tomorrow, but we're voting for it.
The election is Wednesday.
It's Wednesday?
Yeah. So you have another day to endure.
I run it down the days. well, I'm sorry, this is there.
No. You still have another day to wait. So
what was your take on this United States election? So, to be honest, I don't know what's wrong with Trump.
Well, I started to give my take on the U.S. election. I was really quite nervous watching the counting because of the number. And I was one of the people that suspected that Trump would still do quite well. And he did. He did do quite well in terms of the popular vote, as I mentioned. If we look at the other sides of this election, because there was also a Senate race and a race in the House in the United States of America, and we will see that the Democrats still did not do particularly well. So right now, there is basically a tie in the Senate.
Yeah.
And
we can win that.
I don't know who's we, but there are four races left. There are four races left.
In America, no, I'm obvious.
I think it might be a tie, actually, because two of the outstanding races are in Alaska and North Carolina, which are expected to go to the Republicans. And then there are two left in Georgia that are kind of toss-ups. So, you know, what this says to me is, despite all of this concern that you may hear from some news outlets, there certainly are a lot of people in the United States of America who still support Trump, so-called Trumpism, and have these very conservative kinds of views.
Racist, don't say racist.
Yes, racist indeed. Even some of the challenges that were coming from Donald Trump about corruption in Philadelphia, I thought that was a highly racially charged statement because of the population, you know, the composition of the population in that area, making it seem like, you know, people of a certain color tend towards corruption. It was a concerning election for me, you know, because of the number of people who are still willing to vote for Trump, but also who were willing, as I said, these pictures that were coming through in the WhatsApp, to arm themselves and show force outside of polling stations and the places where the votes were being counted. It's very disturbing.
But you know, one of the things that can happen?
What?
The crows that Trump had without masks and that's all, a lot of them can dead out.
Well, now that you say that, you see these celebrations following the election as well. Those who are celebrating Biden Harris, they're also out in their numbers. No social distancing, no masks.
They had a modicum thing of protection. But you know,
the numbers will continue to increase.
You know what was frightening to me Saturday night?
What's that?
When the pyrotechnics was going off.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at Biden and Kamala. I said, they're shooting at them, yeah? You know, you're hearing the
pop. Oh, you were afraid. You thought it was an attack.
they was afraid that there was, you know, there were gunshots. So I was so glad to see that everything went smooth, knowing how charged, you know, understand it, down there is.
Well, we wish for the best.
You saw my elect president running. You see him jogging?
Yes, I saw the jog.
You saw sweet that jog they looked though?
Well, I don't know if it looked sweet, but it was a jog. I'm not sure that it looked sweet, but it was a jog.
I can be 65 in a couple of days.
And you can't jog like that.
I can't jog like that. He's 77, going 78. He can jog. I can't jog.
You need to find out what he's doing.
I know why I'm doing that. He don't do so. He did too much. He did too much. But listen, this election in America is something else.
Mm-hmm.
I got a strong, this is my personal feeling now about Trump. Then I feel that I am a straight show. I like to say my feelings.
Okay.
Not well, that nobody gonna do it. He gonna do it himself. It's too shame.
Well, I don't know, and I would not speculate to that effect. But thank you for your call. We need to take a break. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks. I am Christina Hines. Let's take a call. Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Morning.
I am calling to find out if we have a politician that ran for Christchurch West. It seems as we don't have nobody to represent Christchurch West.
Well, you mean if you have a member of parliament? Because I'm certain that you do.
I don't know. You never hear enough freedom to come up in your village to ask if you want anything done. All they're interested in, and those that vote in now, want to get the votes to get in. And after they get in, they forget who put them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't come around to see if you place them in order or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't call on them.
So you have a concern that you want to voice to your representative?
No, not right now, because they ain't doing nothing.
So what would you want them to do? You just want them to come and say hello?
Or that vote for the Christchurch West.
Mm-hmm.
We like the roads fixed and the pipes, they got pipes burst that do want fixing. And we would like the roads fixed and different things, but there's nobody come around to see what is and what ain't.
You tried the constituency office?
Have you reached out? But you never could get through.
Oh.
But the most important thing is, when you done put all of those folks in there,
mm-hmm.
and expecting they can come around to do what they promised, they don't.
Right.
So I don't see, it's a waste of time. Then you going voting for a person expecting they can come and do something for you, and they don't come.
So what can we do about that when they don't come around? What do you think we can do to encourage? Oh, so just put them out. So what would we do to encourage the next person? So when the next person comes and they do the same thing, how do we change this situation?
The best thing to do is don't vote at all.
Oh, no.
But
if you don't vote, somebody else is going to vote, though.
For them, they forget you. They don't come around in the vicinity to see elderly people might want help.
Right.
Something might be want doing in the parish.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't come around. They don't even notice you. So I don't see the sense.
Yeah, you know, when we vote for representatives in the parliament.
We're not voting
for cabinet members or anything.
Right.
So we would hope that we do have representation. My question is, do we need to see our representatives to know that they're representing us? How often
sometimes,
do we need to
not
see
all
them?
The time. Mm-hmm. Just pass through the vicinity.
Right.
You know, just to stay and go
and
see what the people want. But they don't have nobody to come in Christchurch West to see what the people would like,
mm-hmm.
and the roads that in the back needs fixing, and they won't come in to do nothing. Water pipes to be burst and they stay there for weeks and weeks and months, and nobody don't come.
Yeah, I know
to check
how
on nothing. And when they do come, and they dig up the road, they leave it the same way, and you either could walk on a rock and fall or something.
Mm-hmm.
I really would like very much for the politicians to do what they promised to the people.
Fair enough. Very fair.
You know, they don't do anything for the people.
Well, let's not say they don't do anything. They do things. I wouldn't say that, not exclusively. I certainly do understand your frustration. I can tell you a little story from my part. There were some potholes in the road leading towards where I live, and I had become so accustomed to dodging them that when they were filled on Friday, I still have not been able to bring myself to drive in a straight line over where the potholes were. And I was, like you, very frustrated at the fact that these craters were existing in the road. So maybe, like me, you will eventually get some resolution to your problem. I didn't get the resolution as quickly as I would have wanted. But hopefully your pleas for assistance will be heard, and your representative may hear this, or someone may inform them that people want to see them some more. Right? Okay, let's take another call. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Dr. Hank.
Good morning.
There are two issues I'd like to look at this morning.
All right.
Has any analysis been done of the personal votes that Donald Trump received in the presidential election?
When you say personal votes, you mean,
I mean
who has voted in which
persons,
way?
Persons voted for the Republican Party, okay? Mm-hmm. So whether Trump was there or not, they would have voted for the person that was picked. But some person voted personally for Trump. I wonder if any analysis was done with that.
Yeah, well, it's difficult to know. I think one of the things we have seen in these last two presidential elections, I've seen some things that have been written in the news media, the press, in the United States of America in particular, talking about some of the issues with polling in this context, relating to the fact that people do not necessarily want to reveal that they are Trump supporters or where their support lies. So I think it is very difficult to get a true picture of who is voting Republican, who is voting Trump, who has said that they're unsure, but they really have decided that they're going to vote for Trump or Biden, Harris. So, you know, this is, you know, the problem of other people's minds. We don't know what has happened in other people's minds. And because when you go to the polling booth, or in the case of the United States of America, when you vote by post, nobody knows what you have written. You know, it's anonymous.
I'm saying that you only need to be concerned if you believe that there are 70 million voters supported the views of Trump, and not they weren't just voting as Republicans.
Well, I think it stands to reason that a fair proportion of them would have been supporting Trump, because there also were Republican supporters who openly said they would not be voting for Donald Trump because of what he stands for.
Said they were voting for Biden.
Right.
All right. Let's look at another issue now.
Okay.
Now, 2 Mondays ago, mm-hmm. in the 7:30 VRB news,
yes.
there was a news clip in which the attorney general lost decade, mm-hmm. there was gun violence. But what we are witnessing now is only an escalation of that violence. Now, I would like to know from you, what comfort would you take from a statement like that? And by extension, what comfort should ordinary Barbadians take from that statement?
I don't know that there's a lot of comfort to take. There's no comfort in this. I think that what we are seeing is that the issues of violence in our societies are bigger than any political party, any attorney general, and we need to treat them in the way they need to be addressed, in a more holistic manner, dealing with what the root causes of these things are, rather than politicizing them and assuming that a change in attorney general or the political party in office is going to effect a change in the levels of crime and escalating violent crime in the country. I went to a forum the end of last year, and some representatives from the police were indicating that, yes, there have been some increases. There have been increases in violent crime, but I guess public perception of how dangerous or violent Barbados is becoming is not in line with the actual levels of the increase in violent crime. I thought that was interesting. So maybe our perceptions because of reporting and so on, yes, there is an increase, but the escalation is not as high as our fear or our concerns may make it seem.
So if he cannot wrestle the crime to the ground.
Well, I don't think can any attorney general do it though without dealing with the real issues.
Get somebody, if you are trying and you can't get it done, then get somebody else to try. Somebody else might be able to do it.
Okay. Uh huh. All right.
So I don't know why he didn't reshuffle the cabinet. Mm-hmm. He didn't put his ministry at the disposal of the prime minister.
Well, that was not his decision to make. The prime minister is the one that makes those selections, appoints and disappoints.
Okay, he could, if he knows that I cannot put a handle on this violence. I am willing to step aside and let somebody else get a try.
But you're assuming that any of the politicians can get a handle on this. And I think the point that I am making is that I'm very skeptical that the solution is a political one.
So no politician is able to get a handle on this violence?
Not in isolation, because unless you deal with the causes of the violence, you're going to have violence. So I think until we come to the point where we start to think about what is causing the levels of violent crimes in Barbados and how can we address it at the root rather than after the fact, we are going to continue to be in a situation where there will be violent crimes. We may have improvements in arrests and perhaps increased policing, but I don't know that this is the best or the most appropriate way to deal with a societal problem.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dr. Hank.
Thank you, too. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
I was just calling to ask a few questions in terms of what was said earlier.
Okay. I hope we can answer.
Right. So in terms of conservatism and racism, I just heard that the two were correlated. And I just want to know, what is the definition of a conservative?
I don't think the two are not necessarily correlated. So conservatives are more towards the right, what people may call right wing, right of center.
You're right, but what is right, as in terms of what's the ideology behind being a conservative?
So where in the U.S. context, and also in Britain and in many other places, these people are still generally liberals in terms of liberal political theory. So you're making me like a teacher now, right? So even though they are liberal, often believing in things such as election processes, people's freedoms and rights, they tend to have some perspectives that are not as, I don't want to say radical, but as open when it comes to the extent to which certain rights should be exercised. So they tend to hearken back to some kind of mythical past, which was, you know, the good old days when certain values and morals were respected. There tends to be a level of traditionalism, less emphasis in, certainly in the current version of conservatism, less emphasis on the state provision of services, state provision of transfers, so the movement of wealth from the rich to the poor. So very kind of traditional family values, traditional values, as opposed to what we would see in the center and certainly towards the left, where you would start to get some more radical sorts of perspectives.
Right. So in terms of, it's just really, it believes in more free enterprise, private ownership, and private individualism, and more socially traditional ideas, I think.
Well, both sides, I mean, if you look at Democrats, those on the towards the center certainly do uphold a lot of the things that you mentioned. They uphold capitalism.
Yeah,
but
so more,
some of the other values sides, are right? different. Pardon?
Yeah, so they're centrist on both sides. Right?
You can
so,
be left of center, right of center.
Yeah,
sure.
Correct. Right. So I just think that sometimes the radio station is not as objective, or the people that call in, they don't have the objectivity to give a different view.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more like one thing all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, like, for instance, we have, it's a clear bias when we have a prime minister here in Barbados just congratulating Joe Biden. If the Democrats have done anything that are pro us in the Caribbean, that's not true. In the past, the Democrats' policy in terms of how they look at free enterprise and taxation the things that we fall under, like FATCA, which is foreign account tax compliance for like Americans and so on, mm-hmm. and business. All those policies have hurt our international business sector.
Yes.
And the banking that we would have done with those countries.
I agree.
Now, the Republicans, you know, are more open to the fact where they take back some of these regulations and create more loopholes for persons to do business, and they're not as interested in knowing where persons put their money and in terms of taxation and so on. So I don't understand why we are biased towards a party that serves no interest to the Caribbean. The only thing they dwell on is racism, because
mm-hmm.
they just use that as a divide and conquer tactic. Because mm-hmm. the only reason that they got rid of Trump is because they claim he's a racist. But in terms of the last 4 years, he has done a lot. He has done a lot in terms of geopolitics and economics.
He's done a lot in terms of geopolitics? Like what?
Right, so there were three
inflamed the Israel-Palestine situation? Go ahead.
Right, so there were three peace deals that he would have brokered.
Mm-hmm.
One between Israel and Sudan, one between UAE and Israel, and one between Israel and the Kingdom of Bahrain.
Okay.
Right?
Let me stop here a second, because that, especially that one between Israel and Sudan, this is really problematic. This is an interim government that is not really has not been elected. It's kind of holding a space until a proper election can be held. This seems like political opportunism rather than a genuine interest in peace. So
right,
there are some of
these
things
that
are very
contentious. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden was in office for 8 years, and did how much peace deals did they broker?
They said peace deals, but they did nothing.
Uh-huh. They actually made Iran and ISIS stronger because they failed with the Iran peace deal when they were supposed to be doing a nuclear buyback program.
Mm-hmm.
They sent the money to the Iranians. The Iranians decided to keep the money and then confiscate their nuclear weapons.
Okay.
So if that was Trump, that would have been blasted on the radio station for the next year that, Trump failed. But we don't look at the failure of the Joe Biden and the Obama legacy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just seeing a clear bias, and I just want to know why.
I don't know if it's a bias, but certainly any government will have its flaws. Any presidency will have its flaws. In terms of U.S. foreign policy, I think U.S. foreign policy has been quite consistent over time. I think what has been inconsistent is the way that Trump has treated to Israel. And it's quite worrying in some ways because of, as I said, how some of these peace treaties were arrived at. Yes, peace treaties are useful, but the how you get there is, you know, another situation. There is a difference between domestic politics and the foreign policy approach of the United States of America. And as I said earlier, I am not sure the extent to which a change in the presidency will actually affect how the United States of America treats to other countries. I mean, in terms of things like trade, we did see under the Donald Trump presidency this attempted trade war, if you want to call it that, with China. And there were also other types of approaches towards trade with Canada as well as the EU that are quite surprising for the United States of America, that usually treats these as its friends and partners in things such as trade.
Right,
so I think this presidency is, you know, really anomalous in some ways, but everyone has some biases. Let's not pretend that anyone in this world is neutral. And I can hear yours as well.
Right. So if you look further into the NAFTA, which is the trade you're referring to between Canada, Mexico, and the United States,
mm-hmm.
if you were an American worker, you would favor NAFTA getting amended, or like as in Trump took it out and then did it over or whatever, because that hurt a lot of jobs in manufacturing, in terms of car manufacturing and a lot of those manufacturing jobs, because those deals would have favored putting capital and investment in Mexico because it's more lower in terms of the labor rate and that's what it favored.
Mm-hmm.
So it displaced a lot of jobs in like Detroit and all mm-hmm. those middle states that you would have seen just voting for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would have been one talking to their issues.
Right.
So what it is right in Barbados, we actually have the same conservative ideas. Barbados is actually a conservative place.
You find?
In terms of all the issues that's going on now, like same-sex marriage, in
mm-hmm.
the past when we had a lot of immigrants coming here, we had people that were opposing other nationalities coming and finding getting jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Not me per se, because I don't believe in that, because Barbados actually, we have a population decline at the moment, so we can mm-hmm. actually do with some immigration. But Barbadians are usually conservative,
okay.
so I don't understand now why when it's Trump, you call it Trumpism. And, and what's the definition of Trumpism? Because the whole thing is that he's a racist. There's nothing based on economics or geopolitics that would substantiate Joe Biden being better than Donald Trump.
Okay, well, I'm sure that's up for debate. Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate discussions of foreign policy and foreign affairs. I really do. Thank you.